What's up, guys? Welcome back to Create a Podcast. My name is Sebastian.
My name is Natia Ben.
If there's one thing that every creator will tell you, that is if you're the kind of person or the kind of brand that works with creators.
Yes.
If there's one thing every creator will tell you is, quote unquote, talk to my team. And in most cases,
yes,
the team is usually them, just on another account.
Yes.
And I feel like most creators and celebrities do this.
Yeah.
Okay, let's call them creators. Because with celebrities, that means you've gotten to a level where you have a team.
Yeah.
But most creators, influencers, and just people who are on the come up,
mm-hmm.
when they say, speak to my manager or talk to my team, they usually just give you their own WhatsApp number, just a different number. So that they have...
There's that of, feeling of, you know, like professionalism.
There's that, but also they want to give you a figure that is a bit higher.
Yeah.
So that when you come back to them and be like, hey, your manager is too expensive for us. They can be like, okay, let me talk to them and then let you know if we can compromise.
Yes.
Now, in this episode, we're going to be talking about the team that creators need. The team that most creators try to portray that they have, even though most of them don't really have them. Yeah.
Yeah.
But even before we do that, why would someone say, talk to my team, when they know very well they don't have a team behind them?
I feel like it most relates to pricing.
Okay.
Pricing. Because if you have a team, then it means you have extra expenditure. Extra expenditure that comes, of course, it comes at a cost. You have a team. Maybe you're paying that team. The same team is what is helping you produce and have your product out there.
So they say they have a team.
Yeah.
So that if they give you an obnoxious number in your head, it will make sense.
Of course. You see, it's more like, let me relate it to... people who are briefcase officers.
Companies.
Briefcase companies.
Yeah.
You, if somebody has a briefcase company and somebody has a real office somewhere, those two people, I mean, even if you are somebody who's approaching for business, you will handle them differently.
But why would you do business with a briefcase company?
I feel like most artists have briefcase companies.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they was funny to win a beef.
No.
What do you mean artists have briefcase companies?
Because I doubt that all of them have teams.
Yeah.
Yes. And by teams, I mean a manager.
Like proper leader or
system. A proper system or a structure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I feel like it's true. Most of them don't have that.
Yes.
But the other thing, the one most important thing that they don't have is legally registered entities.
Yes.
So, yes, I'm an artist, I'm famous, but I've never bothered to register a business or a company. So every time I receive a payment, the money has to come to me.
Personal account. Because remember, there's taxing issues too.
Yeah.
If you have a registered entity, anytime you process a payment,
you have to pay taxes.
There has to be tax.
Yeah. But the tax bracket is also different. Because for artists, if you're being hired by, say, a corporate to go and perform, the corporate usually, for services offered, and this would apply then for consultants, they usually charge a 5% withholding tax. That is in Kenya.
Yes.
They charge a 5% withholding tax.
Yes.
I have a heavy tongue today. I don't know what's happening. I need to reduce my tea intake.
It's coffee intake.
I'm a lawyer from Western and tea is... No, I had coffee earlier, now I'm having tea.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, when artists and performers are hired by corporates for corporate events, the corporate usually has a policy for a 5% withholding tax.
Yes.
So whether you are a registered business or not...
Mm-hmm.
Then you can write off the 5% as long as these people submit the tax and then send you the form.
Yeah.
So that you can present it to the revenue authority.
But how many people do you think do that? And even if it's not an issue of withholding the tax, how many artists or creatives do you think work with corporates?
They're very few.
Let's say in 1 year, how many, if you look at corporate events, how many are there in a year? Apart from that.
Okay, corporate events are many. The only problem with that, especially when it comes to engaging artists, is corporates tend to work with the same people.
Exactly.
So if they work with a certain live band, every time they have an event, they just call the same person. So it limits the number of times that other creators can have that access to the same company.
Yes.
But again, it's true. Most creators don't register businesses. All they do is they create the content, upload it when they go viral, and someone ends up reaching out to them. They're always like, send me the money on my phone.
Yes.
On M-Pesa. Exactly. Or send it to my bank account. And then make sure that you file the tax so that I don't have to deal with that.
Yeah.
Because again, creatives are the kind of people who just want to create. They don't want to worry about the business aspect of doing things.
But even if they worry about it, maybe they don't know how to handle it.
True.
Yeah.
So when an artist says, talk to my team, but my team will reach out.
Yes.
From your perspective, what is this team? Like, who comprises this team? Am I speaking proper English? What does this team comprise of? Yeah, I think that's the proper English.
So, number one, the so-called managers.
Yeah,
your managers have a bad name out here.
I remember we were having a conversation before we started, and you were like, hey, managers, man. Like every time a creative comes out and complains about one of their team members,
it's always the manager.
And why do you think managers are the number one professionals that sort of have beef with creatives?
You know, I feel like if it gets to a point where you have to define what this particular person is, it's relative.
What do you mean define?
Defining their cause or what they're meant to do on different levels. Because in corporate space, they are managers. In the creative space, they are managers.
Yeah.
At home, they are managers.
I remember that viral Louis.
Yes.
Who was saying, "Oh, Mr. Watch, you need a manager." I can't remember the exact phrase. Anyway,
So it depends on how you define this manager.
Yeah.
And I feel like those who are in the creative space especially, they overstep. They misuse and
who now the managers?
Yeah, they misuse the people who are supposed to be
the creatives now. Yeah.
Because I mean, there's been a lot of those complaints. Anyway, that notwithstanding, we also have the PR and communication team, which I think also has the marketers and the publishers.
Yeah, the publishers.
Yes. There's the legal team.
Yeah.
I am not sure how many artists or creatives are able to afford lawyers. Okay. I'm talking of within Africa because we see a lot of incidents.
Yeah.
Then we have those who are willing to invest, the investors, the financiers.
Yeah.
We have promoters. Promoters who may also fall under the bracket of managers.
Yes,
we have the accountants. I'm not sure how many have accountants anyway, because if people deal with M-Pesa transactions, I don't know how that goes down. We have agents. Maybe agents also fall under some bracket.
Stylists, makeup artists,
stylists. But what I see most people do, it's either they'll go for a shave, or they'll just go to the salon and just go to their wardrobes.
And pick something.
Pick something.
Yeah.
I mean, not a lot of creatives are on that level.
Okay, so if we break down these roles, starting with the managers, and I like how you're saying that there's always conflict between managers and creatives.
Yes.
And the conversation usually revolves around money issues.
Yes.
Very rarely will it be about anything else.
It's always about money. It's
always about money.
Yes.
And the way you're saying, managers sort of overstep their roles.
Mm-hmm.
And they start feeling, there's that feeling of, I am in control.
Yes.
You forget that you're the manager. And since you're handling most of these artists' paraphernalia,
yes,
you start feeling like you're also a celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen managers or business development people,
yes,
who sort of step into the limelight,
mm-hmm,
forgetting that,
yeah,
without this talent they're representing,
mm-hmm,
they would not be where they are.
That's true.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's important to understand that this is the system that we have in place for this particular creative. This is the structure, and who is the boss? Because at the end of the day, to be honest, if this creative space is blank, then even you as a manager,
you won't have. But who is a manager really? Because I feel like that is where the confusion is.
Yes.
A lot of times when creatives, artists, and content creators, when they say they're looking for a manager, they usually mean they're looking for a promoter.
Mm.
They want someone who will go looking for shows for them. Someone who will go and knock on doors and ask for opportunities on their behalf.
Yes.
And if you look at what traditionally a manager is, that is not necessarily
a manager's role. Yeah.
So just to give a comparison, corporate vis-a-vis creative industry, how would you define the role of a manager in a corporate?
In a corporate world, ecosystem, they are mostly assigned teams who work under them.
Yeah.
So they overlook those teams, they ensure that their KPIs are set, they ensure that the budgets as per the team are well distributed.
Yeah.
They ensure that targets are met. Okay. Targets could be monthly, quarterly, yearly. I mean, and they ensure that their reviews, because they have to look at performance and all those things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the job. And in a few ways, they also help manage, make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah.
And how are they onboarded? How does a company say, okay, Ati is a good manager, we're going to hire her and bring her on the team so that she can lead this team and take care of these performance indicators?
I don't know how it happens nowadays. I mean, it's all... A long time ago, I feel like 15 years ago, it would have been based on a different reason, maybe the number of years of experience that you have.
Yeah.
Nowadays, people assume that because you have a degree or you have a master's, you're supposed to be a manager.
Yeah.
You know, so it all depends on why. But I feel like it's mostly related to performance and experience and the level of education. That is for corporates. Yes. Yeah.
So, regardless of why the chosen to be managers in whatever department or whatever company. They are brought on board when there is something to manage.
Yes. So, who are you going to manage? There's no one under you.
Not even... You may come on board and not have a team to manage, but there's going to be a product that you're going
to
manage.
So you've got to work with people. It's never just about a product.
Yeah, but before you come on board,
The
product is already defined.
Yes.
The structure is already there.
Yeah.
And there's a very clear path.
Mm-hmm.
When we hire Nati,
yeah,
her role is going to be 1, 2, 3, 4. She's going to lead this team. She's going to make sure our brand is well represented out there.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to make sure we achieve 1, 2, 3, 4 within this budget.
Yes.
If you do a parallel of the creative ecosystem, creators have nothing to manage. Most creators have nothing to manage. Yes, you have this you have this viral song.
Yes.
People know you.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have this viral clip.
Yeah.
Like the last episode you were talking about, was it Katelo?
Yeah.
And how fame came from nowhere. And he had a lot of people sort of telling him what to do at that particular time.
Yeah.
And what ended up happening is people took advantage of him.
Yes.
He might not say it, but we know that is what happened.
Yes.
So even as a creative,
yeah,
before you start saying,
mm-hmm,
I'm at a level where I need a manager,
mm,
what are you supposed to be having on your catalog? Because what am I coming to manage?
Man, you've got to have a whole profile.
Yeah.
A busy, not just a whole, but a very busy profile.
There needs to be something,
yeah,
that this person is coming to manage. Mm. Otherwise, you're wasting time.
Yes. And you're going to be wasting money.
Yeah.
And you're
okay,
not wasting
money. Because in most cases, they don't have the money. They're saying, Nati is my manager now. But the only thing Nati is doing,
yes,
if you look at it from a very critical eye,
yeah,
Nati is just sitting and waiting for people to DM and ask.
Yes.
Is Sebastian around? Can he come and MC this event?
Yes.
Can he come and do 1, 2, 3, 4? So
yes,
at that level, are you really a manager or a booking agent?
You're a booking agent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now when this booking agent is seeing all this money coming in and compared to what you're giving them, maybe, I don't know, the creator is being paid 100,000 per appearance.
Yes.
And you're telling this manager, I'm going to give you 10%. So he's seeing you pocket 90,000 every time he books for you.
Yes.
And he forgets that he's not the one hustling for these things. There is a very big chance that the day money comes and it lands in his pocket,
yes,
he's not going to give you the 90%.
Of course.
So even as a creator, you need to be very categorical about the people that you bring on board.
Yeah.
But even before you do that, even before you say, okay, I need a manager,
yeah,
you need to have a portfolio,
yes,
of things that he can come and manage.
Yes.
I have a house. I have everything everywhere. I need someone who can come and bring structure.
Yes.
In this space.
Yes.
Otherwise, you're just bringing a friend to hang out with you. Most people
and get a piece of your earnings. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Most people just reach out to a relative and be like, yo, can you come and manage me?
Yeah.
This person has zero experience of the industry.
Zero.
Yeah.
Like, it's just sad. And that is what happens most.
Yeah. And you want this person to come and now manage you.
And probably they're not even interested in the craft that you're doing.
They might be interested, but if someone can only give value,
yes,
to you when there's value coming in already, how good of a role is that he's playing in your life?
It's useless.
This person needs to come on board and say, okay, right now you have 10 gigs coming in every month.
Yeah.
You're charging X amount.
Mm-hmm.
How can we get more?
Yeah.
How can we improve your appearance?
It's more like catapulting levels.
Yeah.
From this level, you step
to
the next one. Yeah.
Yeah. So as a manager, your role is to make sure this brand,
yes,
that you're building, first of all, is presentable.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give an example of EMBL.
Yeah.
They have Tusker, they have Pilsner, they have all these other brands.
Mm.
Each of those beers have a manager of their own.
Mm.
If you want to do like a pool event, you know, the pool that people play in clubs.
Yes.
I've seen that, I think it's Pilsner. Is it Pilsner or White Cup?
Mm-hmm.
That is the brand that associates with that.
Okay.
So you realize that if they're doing something with Guinness,
mm,
there are specific kinds of events,
yeah,
that they're going to gear towards, maybe concerts and
yeah,
that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So even as an artist manager or
yes,
creative manager,
yes,
or a manager to a creative,
mm-hmm,
you need to sit down and say, okay, I have this creative.
Yes.
This is what they are good at.
Mm.
How can we catapult, like you said,
mm,
this brand to the next level?
Yes.
By partnering with the right people.
Mm.
So if you are a podcaster,
mm,
the way us guys are, if
yes,
someone says, I want to manage you guys, this person needs to first of all know us.
Yes.
There's Sebastian, there's Natalina.
Mm.
And then there's Sebastian and Natalina, right?
Mm-hmm.
Together, they can do 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yes.
Separately, they can do 1, 2, 3, 4 each.
Yes. Yeah.
So you need to know first,
mm,
this talent that I want to manage.
Yes.
What is it they can do?
Mm.
Besides just being podcasters, can they host events? Can they give advice on 1, 2, 3, 4?
Yeah.
Can they go to schools and talk to kids?
Mm.
So ideally, as a manager at that level, what you're doing is you're building products.
You're building products
out
depending on the strengths of
yeah,
what you see and what you engage with.
Yeah. So
yeah,
they're like, Sebastian and Nati have this creator podcast,
mm,
but out of this thing that they're doing,
yeah,
we can build 5 products.
Yeah.
So once you have 5 products, then you can be like, okay,
mm,
at the level where they are,
mm,
they don't need to be doing everything on their own.
Yeah.
Now, as a manager, you need to start thinking, what do they need?
Yeah.
The first thing, and especially when now you have built this product, you know that they're going to be booked. They're going to be booked for events and all these engagements.
Yeah.
The first thing we need is someone to take care of our calendar. And that brings the first team member, which is the assistant.
Yes.
So the assistant is there to make your work easier, but at the same time, they are the link between the manager and the artist.
Yeah.
Because the manager, if he's going to build these 5 products out of us, he can't be with us all the time.
Nope.
You know?
Nope.
Once he has the bookings, it's the assistant to sit down and say, okay, on Friday, you guys are going to be here, on Thursday, you're going to be here, on Saturday, you're going to be here.
Uh-huh.
So that brings in the first team member with the assistant.
Uh-huh.
What are some of the roles would you would feel like, okay, now the assistant should handle that?
I wish I would have had a taste of having an assistant.
Mm.
But as far as I'm concerned, at this level, of course, I trust doing things myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Just sitting down and having my own calendar.
Mm.
It's not like I have a very busy calendar anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's that. But for me, it's more of creative control. I like being the one to do stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm learning now how even to delegate duties and things.
Yeah.
So even if I had an assistant, the first few months would be...
It would be very tough.
I
feel like they would sit idle.
They would, but they would also learn a lot. I've worked with people in the past who came as interns and they just wanted to mirror what I'm doing and they've gone ahead to do amazing things.
Yeah, exactly.
So they need to be also smart. But in terms of role, their job is to make sure the calendar is right.
Yes.
If we're recording this podcast...
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to start looking where they're looking for the microphones and the cameras. Like, you guys, us guys spend like 30 minutes just setting up because I don't even remember where I put the headphones.
Yes. I mean, today we even spent an hour.
Yeah. So, the first person would be the assistant.
Yeah.
And the roles for the one assistant is not that much because they're just putting order and structure on what is already in existence.
Hmm.
The other person you mentioned is PR and communications.
Yeah.
So publicists. So in this case, if we had a publicist, kazi itakuwa gani?
Kazi. Mm. Itakuwa, they'll be in charge of social media, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Social media is a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
Social media is a lot of work.
Yeah.
Apart from that, what else?
Just PR.
You public say relations.
You might end up saying something. You see, the way us guys talk, because we are friends, we might think some things are okay, but then they go up there and guys interpret them in their own ways. So you need a publicist who's gonna be like,
they didn't mean that.
They didn't mean that.
Okay, or even if we meant it,
then they have to find a narrative that supports what we are doing.
Yes.
And if it gets to a level where we need to apologize, they need to come up with the apology and tell us these are the key talking points.
Yes.
So publicists do that. Damage control, crisis control.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're ever in a situation where you need to go and do interviews, they will prep you and tell you, this is the narrative we're selling right now.
Okay.
So make sure you stick to these talking points.
Yes.
Also based on now this product that the manager has come up with.
Yes.
But now the manager does not just come up with the products alone.
Mm.
It has to be a collaboration between us.
Yes.
He presents, he comes with a PowerPoint and they're like, these are the products that I feel like you guys can echo very well.
Yeah.
And then we decide
yeah.
based on availability and even interest.
Yes.
We can choose out of 5, maybe 4 or 3.
Yeah.
So the publicist and the assistant both report to the manager, but they are working for us.
Yes.
The third person that you mentioned was
a legal.
The lawyers.
A legal individual.
Yeah. How I feel like I'm singing a South African song. Anyway, lawyers.
Lawyers, I mean, they mostly help with the drafting documents.
Yeah, agreements.
The agreements, the contracts.
Yeah.
What else?
NDAs.
NDAs.
If someone was ever on our set and there's information, they should not share.
Doesn't need to be leaked out.
Yeah, they need to sign that.
Yes.
If you have concepts that you presented to potential partners,
mm-hmm. they need to be protected.
Yeah. And even just making sure that our IP is protected, making sure that our logo, our episodes are copyrighted, all that stuff. But most importantly, if you ever find yourself in a legal situation, the lawyer is the one to come out and say, look, this is how we're going to solve this. The other thing, the other people are?
Investors.
Yeah, so investors, these are people who put in money.
Yeah.
They look at you and they're like, create a podcast.
We'll give you 10 bob.
Yeah. 10 bob, 10 million. $1 million to grow this thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so financiers, they're hard to find.
Very.
But if you do find them, then they sort of accelerate your journey as a creator.
That's true.
And if you look at it from that perspective, now the manager has to also be part of that conversation.
Yes.
And now that becomes even trickier, because if someone is going to give you money, the manager has to be someone who understands
what they're doing.
Investments.
Yes.
Because no one is going to give you money and just sit back and...
And you bring your sister there to start running things.
You know, this is my sister. We were born together of the same mother and father.
Yes.
No, no, no. It has to be someone who understands money.
True.
And at that point now, there's also the accountant.
Yeah, the accountant.
Yeah, so that is just, accountant is just to make sure your taxes are filed. If someone said they withheld 5%, they have to send that document to him or her to file.
Yeah.
And then, who else?
The stylists.
Stylists. But us guys are podcasters. We need a stylist, really.
No.
Except for our YouTube channel. We have a YouTube channel, The Kenyan Entrepreneur on YouTube.
Yes.
We have a nemesis this year, Mungai Eve. We have surpassed our subscribers. So you guys go on YouTube.
Do your thing.
Storm that channel and hit the subscribe button.
Yes.
So the other group is agents. So booking agents.
Mm.
Booking agents. Okay, it's just agents.
It's just
agents. So you can have a booking agent for performances.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a booking agency or a booking agent for media appearances, especially when you have a new product.
Yes.
I'm thinking, and this might be edited out or not, the moment we have our 30 episodes, we should engage someone to get us as many interviews as possible.
Yes.
So that... Even by the time we're starting season one, you guys already know that we've been doing something. So maybe we can do a couple of media runs.
I think so.
So we need to look for a media agent.
That would be advisable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Out of this list, of course, the other guys, we haven't mentioned security. If you're the kind of performer who goes for concerts, you need a security team around you.
Mm.
There are people who go ahead and choose bodyguards.
Mm.
Some people just make sure that whatever they're going to perform, the venue provides security.
Yes.
But the thing that would work for me would be, I know this person. Because if the venue is giving you a security guy, this guy doesn't even know if you have any allergies.
That's true.
You know,
it has to be somebody who knows you so well.
Yeah. So out of this team, or even like the way we've broken it down, where do you feel creators miss out?
Creators, they miss out, and I would say generally, first of all, I don't think they know they're a brand or a business. That's the number one thing.
Yeah,
you've got to know where you as a creator stand.
Have a profile about yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, like maybe we can try and just find out, like, in a scale of 1 to 10. How many creatives out there have profiles?
Right now, I know guys do, kinda. And this theory was proved when we were having our interview. I think it was episode 5 with Barbara. And I asked her to send me a profile, and she did. It's very well put together.
And do you think, because like we have professional social media, digital space like LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Do you think they've put their profiles
up? No, I don't think.
Yes.
And I think the problem with that is, okay, I've seen a few, like music producers. They're going to say, I've been in this production company for X number of years.
Yes.
And then they're going to keep, like, if whenever they release a song, they update the links. But not so many people do that. But if you compare that to now short form content creators, like TikTokers, How do you update your daily TikTok videos on LinkedIn?
You don't update. There's that profile. Because at the end of the day, if you consider yourself a brand, if you're looking to work with other brands, I mean, you have a profile. You don't have to give the daily of what you do. I mean, I have a profile on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
I have not updated what I do every day. No. But I still have a profile.
Oh, right? There's a link that takes people to know what you do on the daily basis.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I have a profile. And on my profile, I've put just the general thing about where I've worked, what I have done, and what I've studied, and all that.
Yeah.
I mean, as a creator, how hard is that? Because at the end of the day, you are looking to get contracts out there.
Yeah.
Yes.
But the question is, why would they do that? If I'm looking to work with a creative, am I looking at their profile on LinkedIn?
Not necessarily. But it gets to a point where you're trying to, you might want to work with an international body, you know? You don't have to be local all the time. Okay, I would be interested in looking at your IG, at your TikTok, at your Facebook.
But when international... But
come on, man.
It's
when it comes to international, wanting to go international...
Yeah, they're going to look at that.
Yeah, you've got to have a twist.
Yeah, I remember... Was it a month ago?
Mm-hmm.
I saw some residency program.
Yes.
In... Was it Germany?
Yeah.
And I applied... And the thing that I noticed is, a few days later, there are a couple of people from this organization that were checking out my LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
So as a creator, Natia said, and it's true, make sure your professional profile is up to date.
Yes.
And it's honest. And here you are talking about people who just write stuff.
Yeah.
And go pitch. And it's easy to... write stuff and say you've done 1, 2, 3, 4.
It's very easy.
But now when it comes to the portfolio, when it comes to presenting the portfolio and the proof of work, that is where
that's where the jargon
is now. I'm speaking Swahili. Mbivu na mbichi means ripe and
raw.
And raw. That is where people are separated. I'm speaking Swahili intentionally because I told Nati to tell me a lot and twister.
Yeah.
And she came up with one.
I actually was very blank. And I feel blank right now.
This one you are saying.
Because if it's not anything I'm used to.
Yeah.
But trust me, the next episode, I'll give you guys a lot and twister.
What are you saying? Tongue?
I don't know. Ton a tonga. That's all I know.
No, ton a tonga. There's something we had a lot of tong. I can't remember. Anyway, I like this vernacular words.
Yeah.
Because the other day I was thinking how same words said in different tonations.
Yes.
Mean different.
Totally different things. Yes.
Like in Luya, when you say amavere, you mean milk.
Yes.
But when you say amavere, you mean millet.
Yeah.
And then when you say amavere,
yeah,
it means or he was or she was.
Mm.
So it's the same word.
But
different tonations and different, what is it called? Like even if you take a breather between a word or words,
a letter,
you're totally saying a totally
something
different
totally
thing.
Different, yes.
And I've noticed with Luyas and Luos, there's a lot of that.
It's too common.
Anyway, you guys, in the next episode, Nat is going to tell us a Luo tongue twister.
Yes.
Tonga. Yeah, anyway, as we sign out, do you have anything to add on?
No, I just feel like we need to sensitize more on creatives considering themselves serious businesses, not just a business. You are a brand.
Do you genuinely believe that all creators are businesses?
Genuinely, no. But a majority of them are.
Yeah.
A majority of them, a part of them also just do it to pass time. And then all of a sudden you're out there, you have something good. People are looking at it for a week, 2 weeks, you disappear.
Yeah.
So that
you're
is
not
also
consistent.
Yeah, that is also bound to happen. However, it's important. And this is why where now they dig into who they really are and what they really want and what their goals are towards what they're really doing. So dig deep into who you are.
So I mean, if we say creators are businesses,
yeah,
we need to be very categorical by saying creators who have made the decision to make money,
out of
career, out of what they're doing,
yes,
are businesses.
Yes.
Anyway, you guys, let us know what you think. If you're listening to this on any other platform that is not a podcast platform, make sure to give us feedback. If you're listening to this on a podcast platform, make sure to hit the follow button so that you're notified every time we upload a new episode. We are now on more than 7 podcast platforms. We are on Anchor, we are on Castbox, we are on SoundCloud, we are on Apple Podcasts, we are on Spotify, we are on Anchor. Did I say Anchor twice?
You said Anchor. Okay,
Anchor,
Google Podcast.
Google Podcast. There's so many, you guys. So you have no excuse. Make sure to let us know what you think.
Yeah.
If you are ever on Instagram, check us out at Creator Podcast.
Yes.
Creator Podcast is C-R-8
Podcast. Yeah.
C-R-8-R Podcast. Let us know what you think. Give us feedback. You can follow me at The Kenyan Entrepreneur, Nati.
If you see me on the road, please follow me.
Don't do that. Don't do that. You guys are going to end up in jail. Nati has cop friends who I can commit.
Come on,
you
man.
Guys are trying. Don't follow her. If you see her in real life, don't do that. Don't do that. But if you're ever on Instagram and you see Nati Abeno, hit the follow button. Account is private.
Yes.
But by the end of these 30 days, it's going to be a public. It's going to be a public. There's no way it's going to be hopeful. we already passed that. So she's going to be on a... Her account is going to be public by the time we're launching season one.
Yes.
So, let us know what you think. And thank you very much for listening in. Let us know if you're a creator and you're trying to put together a team. If there's any sort of help
you need,
we can help you.
We are right here.
Reach out at Creator Podcast on Instagram. Creator Podcast, like I said, C-R-8-R.
Podcast.
DM us and we'll give you feedback. If it's something that you feel like guys can draw value from, we're going to make it a full episode and share it so that more and more people can access it. And we have some exciting things coming up in April. So stay tuned. Peace out.
Bye.
Bye-bye.